Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Tarot International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Tarot.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. In studio with us again today, as he is each week, is Bill K. James. He is with Good Milkshake Digital, and this is the segment that we do each week, and we talk about marketing for business, how we can help you perhaps get a handle on how to better market your business, whether it's a product or a service, and to get more consumers to, well, first of all, notice you, and then buy something. That's the game, isn't it, Phil?
It's the game. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah.
So after that setup, I've got a couple of things in mind, and I think I'd like to talk about. Over the past 2 months, we've seen a spate of small businesses, in particular in the restaurant area, that have just given up the ghost. And that's kind of concerning for me, because I like to think that we're a voice of small business. And when anything like that leaves, that's problematic. So what I need to ask is a couple of things. Number one, you know, President Trump has been saying that Amazon is killing off small businesses left and right, and that he's costing the UPS money, both of which I don't think are accurate, but we can talk about that. And secondarily, in the restaurant business, because you have great experience in the restaurant business, how do you stop the bleeding in a restaurant, and how do you take market share?
Well, I think that, you know, number one, we always look for these fall guys whenever a business finally closes its doors.
Right.
Businesses closing their doors is nothing new. This is not a new phenomenon, right? Business ebbs and flows. For whatever reason, we have a number of businesses here in the metro, restaurant businesses that sort of come and go. Now, if I really want to get down to it, if I really want to hammer down reasons, I think that number one, there's a slight oversaturation with the number of restaurants that are here locally. That is mainly because obviously there's retail out there, and people see an empty space, they get approached, and they get pitched. It's a perfect spot for your restaurant, you know, and so people get overextended. I think there's a tendency to sort of, and for whatever reason, the restaurant business is tough enough, but with the fact that there's just so much competition out there, and the fact that people are seeing this phenomenon unfold in front of them online, so they. You have this entirely new generation of people that, for whatever reason, are professional foodies because they watched a couple Ina Gerten videos.
Right.
Right? And so everybody now, it goes on Instagram, and I'm not talking to everybody, not me.
But a lot of people go on
Instagram, they take a picture of their food, and they give a review. And all of a sudden, they have this enormous mouthpiece because they have 2,000 Instagram followers, and now every restaurant has to do damage control. Really, what it comes down to is every business, if you really want to blame somebody, it always goes down to ownership, underestimating the market, or overvaluing the product that they're currently putting out. And really, people like to play the blame game, or really it stops at the top.
It really does stop at the top, doesn't it? There are a couple of things I would think that any business can do to really boost their not only their credibility but also their traffic. And you know, I'm an old guy, so I'm from the school of traditional media. You know, when I'm growing up, and you know, it was radio and television and print. And I don't think all of those are dead. But you have new opportunities in various spaces to utilize those same channels, if you will, but digitally. Would that be accurate?
I mean, let me flip this back on you. Do you mind if I ask you a question?
No, please.
Okay. You know, coming up, you know, very first restaurant I ever worked at, I was 13 years old. Don't tell the cops. But it was my uncle paying me under the table. But want to know from your perspective, let's say 1990.
Okay.
Restaurant. So the cross-generational, right? That would have been 1990 when I was 13. Okay, so what sort of things would a restaurant owner do in order to open their doors? Because you've worked in advertising and radio and marketing for years and
right.
years. What sort of things would I have done to open my doors in 1990?
Well, I think very much the same things that you would be doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And those things would be have a product, whatever that product is, that matches the consumer demand. So you have to do on the front end all kinds of work to figure out, okay, what do people want? And then how can I deliver what they want at a price that's convenient? And how do I create an atmosphere within my restaurant
mm-hmm.
that's welcoming and also relationship oriented?
Mm.
I think the restaurants, in my opinion, the restaurants where the owner is there and where the owner is greeting people and going from table to table and making sure that things are going okay and they're checking what's going on in the kitchen and they're doing all of those high-touch things, I think they win.
Mm-hmm.
I take, for example, my friend Dave Thompson. Dave Thompson owns the Urban Grill.
Mm.
There is not a day that the Urban Grill's not busy. Now, is it all location? Well, it's got a nice location.
Pretty good location, yeah.
But it's certainly not way out in the western suburb.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what is it that makes that place really hum? And I think Dave and his wife are there every day.
Mm.
I think they know what they're doing.
Right.
I think they could use some help digitally. But they've just got a fabulous clientele. I think that's what I'd say.
Mm.
Am I off?
What I try to do instill in most restaurant owners, and this is what they understand. Restaurant owners understand this, you know, from the get-go. Restaurant owners, for the most part, understand that in order to create long, sustaining success, you have to find at least 25 to 30, depending on the size of your restaurant, 50 regular monthly customers per month.
Brand warriors.
Right. So these are people that you sell them on their product. You don't even have to sell them on your product. They just come in. It's just a natural, like, for whatever reason.
Right, they're regulars.
This is a place I need to go. Hugely raving fans. So after a year, after a year of being in business, you have 300 or so of these people coming in at $30 a pop, which is $9,000. You know, that's the sort of thing that you try to build up. You try to build the one-on-one relationships, and the ones that do extremely well are the ones that have that whatever reason the brand identity. The brand awareness enough that you can get that one-on-one relationship with somebody before they even show up on the first date.
So what you're saying in today's world, not only do you have to have those individuals who are already committed to your brand and their return visitors, but also how do you create that relationship mm-hmm. with people who have never stepped in your door before?
It's for whatever reason, people are driven by a couple different things. People, consumers these days are driven by a couple different things. Number one, they're driven by the latest and greatest. And so if you don't have that attention getting product that sort of separates yourself from somebody else to actually bring somebody in the door, then great. But there's also this, I don't think will ever go away, this old school feel of, does this person actually care about me?
Exactly.
Does the restaurant owner actually care about me enough? That includes responding to mean reviews in
sure.
a way that's thoughtful, you know, and that's just being a decent human being.
But everybody gets mean reviews.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's the nature of the beast these days. Mm-hmm. Everybody, as you said earlier, everybody is a food critic. Everybody has all these mm-hmm. opportunities to share whatever on Yelp or whatever the function is. And restaurateurs, to your credit, yeah. They need to be able to be responsive to those, but in a way that doesn't light up the next person.
Well, you take those excuses of you take those excuses and turn them into opportunities.
Right.
And, you know, I'm convinced that there's somebody out there, and I'm not sure who that is. I have an idea in my head of who that would be, but somebody out there is going to document every second of their day in a restaurant. That's going to become the top rated food show on YouTube with the right type of personality. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I just took it in this conversation in a completely different, different direction here. But the reason I say that is because the only thing we trust these days is the thing that's sort of hot, new, and interesting right in front of us. There's going to be somebody that is so obsessed with brand awareness that that's all they do is completely document their life. 24, you know, almost 8 hours a day. They open up the day and they have sort of a drone flying around them. You know, so
I get it, but to be practical about that, I can see that working in a restaurant. I mean, I can see that working in a radio station. I can see that working in a law office. Mm-hmm. I can see that working along all kinds of streams. The question is, how do you discipline yourself to be able to do that and then market it correctly?
Well, you have to be sold that that this is where the world is.
I mean,
I think number one, you have to realize that there's no way a restaurant itself can afford $75,000 in TV that it would take to punch through their message, and what can ultimately be done for $5,000 for a 6 month campaign. The quality of attention that's happening right now online is so much greater than the quality that you're getting at scale on a TV ad. Now, I'm not dissing TV because there's a time and place for it. It's not dead. It's definitely not dead. But I think most people just don't understand what's happening right now.
Nope. And the other thing, Phil, is if you're going to go to traditional media, television, radio, print, whatever it happens to be, whatever you're putting out in front of the public needs to be good.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much schlock out there that you know, people look at that. Well, I watch some TV, not a lot, but I see some cable things, and I look at some of these ads that are put out there, and you go, "What are these people thinking? And how much did they spend on this? And why did they do that?"
I mean, you know, the purpose of a lot of this advertising is to is what I coach, is to get those 25 people in the door and keep them there, right? It's not my job necessarily to create those raving fans. It's your job. But if I'm really able to create that raving fan, the way that I envision somebody taking that $75,000 that they would normally spend on television and actually going out and hiring a videographer.
Yeah.
And so the videographer's job is to kick them into gear. The videographer's job is to also take that content and create 12 to 15 minute snippets that they could upload once a week on a podcast. And they could also take that content and pass it off to somebody else to basically create, you know, a blog post. More people need to think of themselves as media companies instead of just restaurant owners.
Yeah, and restaurant owners or any real small business, they need to consider themselves a media company first. And when we started talking about this before we went on mic, you indicated that there's three ways that people consume information. What are those three
ways?
Well,
it's been going on since the time of the caveman.
Yeah.
You know, you have written word, the stuff that's written on the caveman walls.
Yeah.
You have the word of mouth, and you have the sort of the visual clues of the things that we as a species recognize and internalize, and these are the ways that we tell our stories. So, you know, you could say 70 years ago, the advent of television, the explosion of television, which sort of everybody then said radios was going to be a dying breed, you know, and now we've seen radio and audio in particular sort of taking over a lot of that, because I'm able to listen to your show while I work out.
Mobile,
and, right? Yeah. And so you have television, you have audio, and you have let's say the written word. In my case, I would say blog posts, infographics, things like white papers, newsletters, and being very intentional about how you create these things. There's just so much. It's unbelievable to me. The amount of resources people have in front of them, and they just, because what's happening right now is Facebook ads are grossly underpriced. They are ridiculously underpriced. And Instagram plus Instagram influencers in particular, people that they can be my brand ambassadors that I pay, you know, the fact that I can go on to Facebook right now and advertise my business to 100,000 people that I know maybe 5,000 of them will actually see for maybe $100, even if I don't know what I'm doing. That is going to go away in about 4 years, 4 or 5 years.
After they really monetize
those prices,
then.
Those prices, yeah. Once Coca-Cola takes over and they realize how cheap that this is to actually reach the people because everybody's on their phone all the time, you know. And I guess it comes back to the three ways that people create content. If you're not on there, and our friend Gary Vee talks about this idea of a land grab, this is the Wild West, and most business owners don't understand what they have. They are completely clueless. They think that this is a fad. Where, I mean, I don't think most people think it's a fad anymore. Everybody realizes they'd be surprised. People feel like they have to be on it. They don't feel like they want to.
But let me push back just a little bit. I know of businesses out there that are still on websites that aren't mobile friendly.
Isn't that great? Crazy.
What are you doing? and you know, when you ask, well, you know, we just don't have the money to do this. Well, you don't have the money not to do this. This is going to kill you.
And it's so ridiculously cheap if they really want to do a website right now to have it SEO friendly, search engine optimization friendly, have it mobile friendly, and you know, and do it for maybe $150.
Yeah, well,
on if you really, I mean, it's not going to be perfectly designed, but it'll mobile friendly, right?
Yeah. All right, we've got to cluck on out of here because it's nigh on to 6 o'clock. Phil, we could talk about this for an entire broadcast. You know, sitting around talking about what in the world do we do or what don't we do when we're in business. And it doesn't matter what that business is, but listen to what Phil just said. There are three methods of communication: the written word, the video or the pictorial word, and audio.
And they're all sitting in our pocket right now.
Exactly.
Right.
And if you're listening to this podcast, you know that's true. Duh.
Yeah. It's kind of weird to think about. There's actually somebody doing push-ups right now listening to us talking about marketing.
Remember to take a shower. All right. Hey, thanks so much for doing this, man. Appreciate it.
Glad we can fire people up.
I hope so. I hope so. It's in their interests.
Right.
All right. We got to clear on out of here. It's up on 6 o'clock. Tyler Hackenmiller is our producer, as he is on a regular basis. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is none other than Jimmy Olsen, the brand manager for the radio station. It's Patrick Wood. Mary Sayer is the liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group. Jeff Delvo, he happens to be the general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group. The music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett, exclusively for the Business News Hour. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening, would you please? Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.